Harper and Harper Audio present Shift Happens, The History of Labor in the United States by J. Albert Mann. Read by Sandy Rustin. Written with love and admiration for the other J. Albert Mann, Jackson Albert Mann. Section 1. The Age of Discovery to the Civil War, 1492 to 1865. Chapter 1. Is she really going to start with Marco Polo and Christopher Columbus? Marco Polo traveled to Asia in the 13th century on an epic journey. He encountered cultures and nations Europeans barely knew existed. He returned to write a book about his adventures, stories full of amazing art, architecture, and animals, as well as cool innovations like eyeglasses and the postal service. Polo's book topped everybody's TBR list, including Christopher Columbus's. Columbus fanboyed Polo hard. He dreamed of being just like him one day. So when he grew up, he set sail, heading west, not east, hoping to bump into the lands Marco Polo described from the opposite direction. Not only did Columbus have Polo's amazing stories dancing in his head, he had the man's actual book on board his ship. We all know what happened next. Instead of bumping into Asia, he bumped into North America. Kind of. He really landed in the Bahamas. Columbus's trip was paid for by the King and Queen of Spain during a time in history called the Age of Discovery. A better name for it would have been the Age of Stealing Other People's Shit, because these Spanish royals fronted Columbus the money for one reason only: gold. Gold was their version of cash, and the only way to get it was to find it. The Age of Discovery, with its hunt for gold, is the beginning of capitalism. An economy controlled by private owners, in this case the King and Queen of Spain, seeking personal profit, gold, for themselves. So Columbus docked in the Bahamas and met the folks who lived there. The people of the Lekono Nation, called the Arawak by the Europeans. The Lekono were friendly and showered Columbus with gifts. Unfortunately, the gifts were parrots and glass, not gold. Noticing the indigenous people did not carry weapons, he enslaved them. Every Lekono citizen 14 years or older was placed in chains and put to work mining for gold. At the end of each day, anyone who hadn't found gold had their hands cut off and bled to death. The New World's first working class had a huge problem. There wasn't much gold in the Bahamas. What could they do? They bravely fought back, but without swords or guns, it was pretty hopeless. They were burned alive or hanged, and they began to engage in mass suicide using poison and self-starvation. When Columbus arrived in the Bahamas in 1492, there were an estimated 300,000 indigenous people from the Lekono and Carib nations living on the islands. By 1548, after 55 years of violent enslavement and harsh labor, only about 500 people survived. Welcome to the history of labor in the United States. Chapter 2. Somebody's gotta work. During the 150 years of the Lekono and Carib genocide, Europeans were moving to North America in ever-increasing numbers. When they arrived, they got right to work. Just kidding. Most of the first settlers weren't the nose-to-the-grindstone type. They were men of leisure who had never picked up a shovel or hammer in their entire lives. John Smith, leader of the settlement of Jamestown, Virginia, had to establish martial law, forcing the colonists into the fields at gunpoint for their own survival. And that survival wasn't easy. Food was rationed because there wasn't much of it. What food did exist was moldy and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?